Heavenly Father, it's good for us to come to this place at the end of a very tired year and sit at thy feet for learning, Lord, to reflect upon the year that is past, to set our thoughts upon the year to come, and to recognize the blessings that we have had from thee throughout this difficult and challenging year. Lord, be with those that can't be with us. We're mindful of those that, for reasons of needing to protect themselves from the virus, are not here. We're mindful of those that may be caring for the sick. We're mindful of those that aren't able to leave their facilities, like the Marcy's. Mindful of Aunt Maria Harfman as well. Lord, wherever our loved ones find themselves, be with them and bless them in this evening as well. Lord, those that are grieving at this time, we pray for a special comfort to be afforded them. We're mindful of Brother Richard and his daughter, Sandy, and her family. Lord, there are those this evening that find themselves in difficult straits, perhaps physically exhausted as they care for others. Bless them, even though we do not know them this time. So now, Lord, speak to us. Deal with us in a way that seems good unto thee, and we will thank thee for it, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear ones, the Lord has led me to Psalm number 90, and I'd like to use that as the basis of our meditation this evening. Psalm number 90. I'm actually rapidly getting to the point where I may have to start using the pulpit Bible that has bigger print than my standard Thompson Study Bible. We'll see how long I can hold out. Psalm 90, beginning with the first verse. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. The entire 90th Psalm. I don't know if I've ever gotten to the end of a year when I've been so glad that the year is over. It just, 2020 was just one whale of a year. And if I were to say to you, let me back up a minute. If I think about where we were last year this time. So December 31st, 2019, looking at 2020, the economy was roaring. The unemployment rate was so low that it was being referred to as at historic levels. You would have had to really mess up bad to fail with the way the economy was going as we went from 2019 to 2020. Everything was humming. Things were just, we as a country, we were on cruise control. Now, I remember the first car that I had that had cruise control. When we got married, Frida had a much nicer car than I did. She also had a car that had an automatic transmission. So it was really easy to put cruise control on, so we did. And I just loved it. Cruising down the highway going to Mansfield, you set that cruise and you could just sit back. You had to steer, but I didn't have to worry about police. It was just smooth sailing. And then, not the car I have now, but the car that I had before the one I have now, that one had adaptive cruise. Now that was really sweet. Now I know Mike hates it because he drives a little more aggressive than I do, but that car, literally, Tim and I went down to Baltimore. We went to Washington, D.C. We were driving through Baltimore some years back, and literally stop-and-go traffic, I never had to use my foot on the brake or the gas. I just kept that Explorer pointed in the car in front of me, and as that car sped up, it kept safe distances. As that car slowed down, that's where we were a year ago, dear ones. Everything was on cruise control. And we all thought it was good. Till February. February, we start hearing about this strange virus. Well, guess what? We've heard about strange viruses coming from the Far East. We go back 20 years. There were viruses that came, and I didn't take it seriously. I don't think many people took it that seriously, unless you were one of those doctors in China that was trying to figure out how in the world do we keep this from getting out, that this originated here type of thing. But dear ones, by the time we got to the end of March, schools were closed, offices were closed, restaurants were closed, most stores were closed, except for the essentials like Home Depot and, of course, grocery stores. Churches were closed. Wow. We went from adaptive cruise to shutdown. And it just got worse from there. And then all of a sudden we watched this historically low unemployment rate begin to skyrocket. And we were hearing about this is going to be another depression. Well, that didn't happen, thankfully. And the first wave that kind of went through last spring, in Central New York, we didn't feel it. Yeah, we saw what was happening in New York City, and we felt bad, and we saw the big hospital ships pulling in, and they weren't even used. I think the Army Corps of Engineers had set up some field hospitals, and I don't know if they were really used. Maybe there were some folks that ended up some of the ships. There was no Eastern Camp. Normal Eastern Camp. We had a virtual Eastern Camp. But do you realize, dear ones, that in over 70 years, Eastern Camp happened every single year? Talk about cruise control. Every single year, Eastern Camp happened through all kinds of things, through all kinds of conflicts and wars, whatever you want to call them, through recessions, through energy crisis, through all kinds of things, terrorist attacks. Eastern Camp always happened, till this year. Then we kind of, I think in the summertime, we kind of thought, this is pretty easy. This isn't going to be a problem. And then all of a sudden, the fall came. Wow, has the last 6 weeks been different for us here? I remember the first indication that I got that something might be getting seriously wrong in Syracuse was one Wednesday night when I looked in Josh's eyes, because I couldn't see his face because he had a mask on. And he started talking about what he was seeing at St. Joe's. And then our work, I have not gone to the office for a full day of work since March 17th. They allowed me to go in for a couple classes, and that all ended in November. Sorry, we're shutting back down. Go back home. Okay. It's not a problem. I mean, I actually enjoy working from home. And then I heard Jeremy say things like, there is a tractor trailer, a refrigerated tractor trailer parked outside Krause Hospital because there aren't enough drawers in the morgue at the hospital. That's 2020. I'm kind of glad that it's saying goodbye to us. But I've said some things to people all since probably March, maybe not March, probably April. I said, I really think that 2020, in hindsight, is probably one of the best things that could have ever happened to us. Now, I wasn't talking on a spiritual sense. I'm talking on a temporal sense. And people said, you're crazy. Why would you say that? I said, because we were on cruise control. We didn't know what was really going on. You know, when you're on cruise control, you're not paying attention to what's happening. You're just driving down the road. And not only did we get knocked off cruise control, but we had to take detours in 2020. Now, I remember a detour once. So that same trip that Tim and I were taking down to Washington, D.C., we had it all planned out, exactly the time in my mind. Because I'm a person, I like plans. I like things to be really structured. I want plans. Maybe it's my German roots. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was a toolmaker a long time ago, but I need to have plans. And I knew when we were going to get to our hotel, and all of a sudden we get to this one spot on 81, and it's everybody's getting off, and we're on a detour. And I'm like, oh, there go my plans. Well, Tim and I found the cutest little town that looked like we had gone back 75 years in time. Had we not had a detour, I never would have seen that town. We view detours as negative things. We view detours as problems. Really? Should we? There's times in our lives, dear ones, when God takes us off cruise control. There's times in our lives when God says, I want you off the road and I want you on a detour because there's something I want you to learn on the detour. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Learn from it. There's this verse here, verse 12 in Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I always thought that that verse only meant, so make sure that you're keeping track of your, you know, how many days you're living. Make sure you keep track of your life. You know, make sure you're focused on the fact that you could die at any moment. I think there's more to that. That we may rejoice, I'm sorry, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What's that mean? Recently, every year between Christmas and New Year's, I decide that I'm going to set aside some time. And thankfully, for the most part, I've been able to do this for quite a while. I'm going to guess maybe 5 years, 6 years. 7 years, probably. And I just reflect on the year. And what I do is I've always been a person that I wanted to be a person that could journal. And I just never was good at it. So I developed a set of questions for myself. And so just about every day, I just answer these questions in my iPad. For me, I used to try to do it at the end of the day, but I was so exhausted I'd fall asleep, and then I never did it. So I said, I'm just going to do it first thing in the morning for the previous day. So it makes it really easy at the end of the year. You just start thumbing through each one of those notes for every day of the year. It was amazing for me to go through 2020 this morning. I did most of it this morning because we had family here until yesterday, and then there were some things I wanted to get done. So today was kind of my day to set it apart, and I'm probably 65% of my way through my reflection time. I look back in a year that was supposed to be, pardon me for speaking so crassly, but a real stinker of a year. And there were so many amazing things that happened in 2020. Things where the Lord just taught me things, revealed things to me, showed me things. Now, yeah, I couldn't go to camp. Well, we had virtual camp. It was nice. Virtual camp was really nice, but it's not the same thing. I want to read a quote. And I made sure that I wrote this quote down so I would get it right. Oh, let's see. Where is the quote here? Ask yourself. No, I want you to raise. I want to see a show of hands. So when I read this quote, I want you to tell me if you think this was a quote that was offered as part of virtual camp. We are socially distanced, but spiritually connected. Socially distanced, but spiritually connected. Anybody think that was said at virtual camp? That's where I would have thought it was. Governor Cuomo said that. Huh. He said that back in April. There is deep truth in that, dear ones. Socially distanced, but spiritually connected. We've never lived through anything like this. My father-in-law lived through 3 years of imprisonment. He knows what it means to be socially distanced, but spiritually connected. We didn't. But our governor said that in April, when we weren't allowed to go to church. We actually didn't go to church from, my guess is, the last week of March to the 14th of June. I don't think we could gather here. One of the things I noticed in my notes was I made a notation about what the singing was like on June 14th when we came back to church. The singing was more vibrant. Why was the singing more vibrant? Because we hadn't been able to be together for two months plus. That's why. We learned a lesson. I learned a lesson. I remember Tim talking about when he did his inspiration time for camp. And he shared during that inspiration time that when he was coming to record, because he had to do it like here. And so as he was standing here in an empty church, he started in his mind thinking about where all of you normally sat. He probably never would have thought that unless he stood in front of an empty congregation. That's an awareness. That's a gift that he was given. I remember the first, I never preached to an empty church. Wow. I preached in a small church, but never. I mean, I preached in Upper Marlboro. And there might have been six people there, but at least there were six people there. I mean, Mike and Scott and I can say, usually there was one person sitting right there, and it was whoever was going to come up and have a prayer. And the microphone and the camera was up there. And okay. Do you realize, dear ones, that within 1 week's time, we never went a Sunday without having a service in some format? Ever. We went from being together to live streaming on YouTube in a week. It worked. We have no idea how many people are able to take part in some of those Sundays when all the churches were shut down across the country. I think, I could be wrong, I'm thinking one of those Sundays we may have had almost 400 views. Wow. I don't think there's ever been a time when 400 people showed up for a church service in Syracuse, New York. Not in one of our churches, right? This one or Colvin Street, they wouldn't have fit. But that's, it happened. I had colleagues of mine reaching out to me at Easter and saying, hey, could you please tell me, where is your church streaming its Christmas, its Easter service? Because we want to go to church on Easter. Nobody has ever asked me that. I remember back in March listening to someone talking. I was getting some online training because we can't do it. We couldn't do it any other way. And this one person was saying how he was flying back from Israel. He's one of the last flights out of Israel back into the States before they shut those flights down. And he was a pastor of a large church down somewhere, I think Georgia. And he said, oh my goodness, they're going to cancel Easter. Now, let's think about that statement. They are going to cancel Easter. You can't cancel Easter. Easter happened when Jesus allowed himself to be offered on a cross. We're not canceling. You can't cancel Easter. See how our minds work? He thought it was a negative, and then all of a sudden he kind of woke up and he says, okay, how do we have Easter? But we have to have it differently. Off cruise control, becoming highly intentional about what's happening. We did that here. I remember we went from Sunday, between Sunday and Wednesday, we kind of talked, and I sent an email to Brother Rod and said, Brother Rod, would you be willing to do Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom? He didn't hesitate. He said, sure. I don't know if we missed a Wednesday night. It looked like a negative, but it was a positive. Sure, there were difficult times, but these were all things that came through in my reflections. And there were some other things that really hit me, things that I was thinking about during the year. If I would have given you all of these details last New Year's Eve, if I would have told you that they're going to run out of toilet paper. Of all things, like, you know, use Bounty. It's the quicker picker-upper. I mean, come on, there's other things. But no, there'd be a run on the toilet paper. You couldn't find hand sanitizer. You wouldn't be able to necessarily go to... I remember wanting to go to the doctor because my ear was giving me some problems. I couldn't go to Dr. Pachorik, who knows this ear better than anybody. Couldn't go. If I would have told you that you might have to be locked in your homes in some cases, you know, or like the Marcies, not able to even get out of their building. If I would have told you in some cases family members would die this year, how would you have felt? Would you have wanted to know? I wouldn't have. We've gone through a lot, and I know that people that have really gone through hardship. You know, like, I remember after my Thanksgiving service, Sister Helga stopped me at the car. Uli and Helga stopped me at the car, and Helga knew what it was like to get 6 kernels of corn when she, as a baby, was taken into a concentration camp and was there, I think, 2.5 years. And when she left, she hadn't grown. These people know what heartache is. These people know what hardship is. I don't, okay? So for me, this year was hardship. But if I would have told you this, I don't know if you really would have wanted to handle it. You probably would have said, stop telling me these things. If I would have told you that the doors of the church were going to be shut and you couldn't come. If I would have told you that we're going to have to wear masks and we're not going to be able to shake hands and we're going to cancel camp. And we're not going to be able to invite anybody to the fall outing. Thankfully, we could have a fall outing. You wouldn't have wanted to know that. But you being here tonight are the proof of God's mercy and God's care and God's compassion. Because you made it. I remember doing a teaching back in June. Maybe it was May. And it was online because we couldn't do anything in person. And one of the points I made was my grandparents were all alive during the Spanish flu of 1917, 18, and 19. In the month of October, I think in 1718, 140,000 people in America died in 1 month. But the key to what I said was my grandparents. So if they are my grandparents, they lived through it. Why? Because of God's mercy and God's grace. We become, so dear ones, look back at your life, not just 2020, because you know what? 2020 was an annoying year. It wasn't a horrible year. It was an annoying year. Lived through the Great Depression. Lived through a year in a concentration camp or a prison camp in the former Yugoslavia. That's a bad year. This was an annoying year. But think about what you've been through in your life. Think about the trials that you've had. Think about the nights you've laid awake struggling with things, concerns, and fears. Did God ever let you down? Did he ever leave you hanging? No. And how do I know that? Because you're here. You've made it through. I remember talking with Uncle Richard Harfman this week when talking to him about his son-in-law's tragic death. And we talked about Sandy, his daughter, who lost her husband like that. And I said to Uncle Richard, you're going to be able to help her through that. Nobody else can. But you can, because you went through it 20 years ago. God's mercy, God's provisions. He can say to her, Sandy, God is still on the throne, regardless of what happens. We become, dear ones, we are the living proof that God is full of mercy and that nothing will ever escape God's attention. One of the notes that I made for myself was this one. Worry is a form of atheism. That was a statement that I made to myself to kind of slap myself upside the head. Worry is a form of atheism. Atheism is I don't believe in God. So if I'm a believer, and I'm worrying, and I do from time to time, and I did a lot in 2020. But the Lord said, do you believe in me or not? It's either a form of atheism, or I'm saying that God doesn't care, or he's incapable of helping me or watching out for me. If I worry, that's what I'm saying to God, or to not just God, but you and the people on the street, the people that I work with. If I'm worrying, I'm saying, yeah, if there's a God, he certainly doesn't care about me. Wow. Now, none of us would say that. So we need to, I wrote this down so that I would remember this and say, you know what? No, I'm not going down that path. The devil wants us to go down that path. He wants us to worry. He wants us to be afraid. He wants us to think that all hell is breaking loose. He wants us to think that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, it is, actually. But we aren't. He wants us to think that we aren't going to make it. He wants us worrying. He wants us anxious. He wants us up all night. And it's like Brother Scott said just before the election, he has the whole world in his hand. And he does. Now, what do we do with that feeling? What do we do with that emotion? Own it. I had to say, yes, God, I'm sorry. This worrying is, it's a temptation. And if I let the devil seed that in my mind, it's going to become a sin. I got to give that to you. Change my mind. Change my heart. Give me something to replace the worry and the fear. But if I deny the fact, if I deny the fact that I'm feeling it, there's no way out of it. We just get into this spiral. Reach out to people. If you're in a rough spot, reach out to somebody and say, can we pray together? I love the text that I get asking for prayers from people. Because then I know we need to be together. Even though we may be socially distant, we are still spiritually connected if we choose to be. Another one that I found really interesting as I was going through my notes was I wrote this down. Our circumstances in life don't define us. Our reactions to them do. Our circumstances in our life do not define us. Our reactions to them do. And I think I preached a sermon about that and I used Abigail as an example. Because in my journal, the note was, Abigail. So who is Abigail? Those of you that, you know who Abigail was. Abigail was this woman who had a horrible husband. Her husband was pugnacious and he was a drunkard and he was mean and he was, I guess that's what pugnacious means. He was a troublemaker. He was a guy looking for a fight. And David's men needed some food and they had been protecting the guy's, Nabal's sheep. And even Nabal's herdsmen said, hey, no, David's guys protected us. They were a buffer between us and our enemies. And Nabal wasn't going to give them anything. So Abigail could have been just a spoil of war. Or maybe killed herself. But she decided, you know what? My circumstances don't define me. My reaction to them does. I'm going to intercede on behalf of my churlish. I think that's the King James word for Nabal, this my churlish husband. And we know what happened. Well, Nabal ends up dying, and she ends up a queen. How are we going to react to things that are going to be coming? There was another note that I put here. The nature of history is that we only know the consequences of the actions we take. The nature of history is that we only know the consequences of the actions we take. So if we're not happy with the consequences of our actions, change them. If what I'm doing isn't working, and that's one of the things that I do throughout this reflection time is what's working, what's not working, what are some highlights of my year? And there were so many beautiful experiences this year. It was just so amazing. Stop doing what's not working. Figure out a way. Let me give you an example for me. So I wanted to desperately spend more time thinking. Just quieting my mind so that I could contemplate spiritual things, temporal things. My mind was just racing this year. And I just couldn't figure out how to make time for it. So I just scheduled it on my calendar in advance, on my work calendar, in the morning before the day starts. So I see it, don't schedule anything. That's their time when, and you know what? It worked. Now, it's not easy. There's times when I sit in my office at home and I'm, you know, because that's where I do my devotions in the morning. It's because it's quiet and it's a comfortable surrounding for me. And so what I do is I have my prayer time, my devotions. When I'm all done, I sit and I think. And I was never able to make that work until I changed something. So if you're struggling with trying to get a spiritual habit going, change something. Find something different. That's the benefit of the reflection, looking back and what can I learn from what happened? So, what was 2020 like for you? Looking back on the last 12 months, what were some wonderful experiences that you had? You know, one of the things that, and I feel so bad because this was a casualty, so to speak, of COVID. But I wrote in my journal back in February that I had a meeting with Eileen, and Eileen was confessing peace with God. We weren't able to announce her until the fall outing, and that's not her fault, it's mine, because I couldn't figure out how do I get the brothers together, how do we have these meetings, how do we, you know. But for me, that was my high points. of my ear. I hope it was. I'm sure it was for Eileen too. And now we can't wait for the baptism that's going to come in spring once our snowbirds start coming home. That was her request, that she wait for them. What else happened in your life? Did you learn anything about yourself that you didn't know? How did God provide for your needs? I had another experience that totally profoundly impacted me this year. I don't have toothaches. I had a humdinger of a toothache this summer. Like pain. Oh, maybe I'm just a wuss, I guess. I don't know. But I spent one night not being able to sleep. I sat up in a chair, and the only way I could get the pain to stop was to keep water, like room temperature water, on the tooth that's not there anymore. And I was so looking forward to the morning, because in the morning I was going to go to the dentist. And what I got when I went to the dentist was, no, you need to go to a specialist. So then I got another day, and you go wait for the specialist. And then the specialist says, oh, guess what? We can't do a root canal because your tooth is broken. So you need to have it pulled. So how long is this going to be? And now I'm to the point where there is no way I can do another night, in my mind, of not being able to sleep. And we have a family WhatsApp message kind of board. And Frida just sent a message to the kids, please pray that Dad can have a night's rest. I fell asleep that night and slept till morning. Previously, all of the narcotic painkillers that the dentist was giving me didn't cut it. I didn't need narcotic painkillers. I needed prayer, but I hadn't asked. And I still hadn't asked, but my version of Abigail asked. She interceded, and the pain went away. Look back in your year. Find those things that were. Look at the things that didn't work. Oh, I had plenty of those. Look at the times that you worried. Look at the times you worried too long and say, Lord, why did I worry so long? Because you're not an atheist. I know that, and you know that. Why did you worry so much? There were times when I really wondered, does God have a clue of what's happening here? I know that's it's almost like blasphemous to say, but that's where I was. What was happening to me? Why was I in those places? Now I can learn from that and say, okay, when I get to this place, I need to go to Scripture. When I start to worry, I need to go back to the Word. That's where I need to go. Not to try to figure out a solution. For me, it was go back to the Word. So what were those things? Where are you spiritually? On your spiritual life journey, where are you? Now's the time to adjust the sails before we get into 2021. What could you do different? Where are you physically? Are there some things you need to do physically? I personally need to eat less and exercise more. I know that because I owe that to this temple that God has given me to walk around in. I really need to work on that. Where are you in terms of relationships? Where are my relationships strong? Where are they weak? Where do I need to work on them? Who is it that I need to reach out to more often, more frequently? How am I going to do that? How am I going to make sure that happens? What did you learn? How has God blessed you? These are things that if you just take a few moments and just sit down and put them on paper, you will be amazed. Be amazed at the blessings of God in the last year. All of us will. Regardless of what happened, we will be able to say, hitherto, the Lord has blessed me. How do I know that? Because you're here. We're here. There was something I learned this summer that I never knew. On top of Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle is a flagpole. And when the sovereign, in our case, in this, the last, I don't know how many years, the Queen, is in that building, her royal flag flies. If she's not there, the flag doesn't fly. So anybody walking by takes one look at the building, they can tell, is the sovereign there? As I go out into 2021, will the people be able to see the flag of joy in my life, which would indicate that my sovereign is in my heart? That's the indicator. One of my goals as I go into 2021 is that I want people to be able to see the flag of joy, because that will be the proof that the Prince of Peace is truly in my heart, and that's where he takes up residence. As we go into this new year, dear ones, I wish you all of God's richest blessings. We need to go into 21 with joyful anticipation, to see with this excitement of what is God doing. I shared this once, and I don't remember exactly how the quote went, but it was something that Billy Graham said, where he said he asked God what God was doing, and God said, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. That's the plan. God's plan is so amazing. All of us in Bible class, you know, we finished it up on Sunday. We have read literally in the back of the book. We win. Let's make sure that we don't just wait till we get to the end of the book to win, because we can be more than conquerors as we leave this place this evening and throughout every single waking moment and sleeping moment of 2021. May the Lord add his blessing to these words.